Okay, the recording has started, and here we are, and we're looking at the great trip to Peru and Bolivia. And you know, Peru is, I will talk about this now, is one of the major gateways in the world right now for bringing forth the new consciousness. And there are three countries in the world that are vitally important with the bringing forth of the new consciousness. And one is Peru, the kind of major center for the new energy coming through is Lake Titicaca. And then you have Ireland, and the major center for the energy coming through there is Tara. And then you have Egypt. And the major center for the energy coming through there is the Great Pyramid at Giza. And all three of these countries are connected on the same ley line. A ley line runs from Lake Titicaca all the ways across, and actually, believe it or not, it goes up through Brazil, and it goes right through Brasilia. And that's where the Temple of Goodwill is, and right over to Tara and comes in at the west coast of Ireland, and a place called a little island called Inishmurry, and then it goes all the ways across to Tara. From Tara, it goes across England, through France, and Italy, and touches Greece. And then goes on down to the Great Pyramids at Giza. So that is the line of the ley line that runs connecting all the energies of all three countries, which is absolutely amazing. And even Philip Lindsay, I don't know if any of you know him. I don't know whether he's English or Australian, but he lives in Australia a lot. But even he's talking now about, he's an esoteric astrologer, and he's even talking now that the new consciousness, the main center for the new consciousness coming out into the world, is coming from Ireland. And I've been saying that to people for 15 years. But you know, now he's the only other person that I know that has kind of mentioned it out in the open. But Peru is just a magical place, and it has amazing energies. And of course, then when we start off, you know, a lot of people come in the day before, and we stay at the Ramada Costa del Sol at Lima Airport. And I will have prices for that. I'm just waiting to get prices back from them. I've sent them a request, and I'm waiting for a special rate from them. And then we leave there to catch around the 9 o'clock flight to Cusco. And so then when we get to Cusco, we go to our hotel, and they have a beautiful ceremonial fire pit there, and we go there, and we have a local shaman who does an amazing job for us and offers us these healing and release and everything like that, and burn all of the sacred stuff. And so you immediately feel that you're transported away back in time, and it's just an amazing experience. And then the following day, we go to the City of Dawn, and so you know, it has a complex of like 17 major places within it, and it's an ancient Inca capital. And a lot of the stones from there were taken, you know, to build local places around it. And it has, of course, the most famous part is the Temple of Sun, which was not ever completed. And it has amazing blocks near the main altar, and the windows that let the sun ray in on winter solstice. And then there is an enclosure of what's called the 10 niches, and it is supposed to be a way where we can render homage to our ancestors. And then, of course, it has the Temple of the Condor, and that is just an amazing and beautiful experience. And then it has the Citadel Temple, and you know, again, like a lot of the places in Ireland and everywhere else, there was the stones are for the boulders are 40 and 50 ton boulders, and they were quarried from 3 miles away. And again, you know, like they have all these people thinking about how they were brought there and everything else, like even the Great Pyramids as well. But you know, I believe that and my belief is that they either use crystals or they could levitate them and move them into place. But the way they cut them, they had to be done with crystals or something, because it's an amazing way how they're cut and everything else. And then, of course, you have some beautiful water fountains and everything else. So some very sacred water places. And so that is on our day too. And you know, the Temple of the Condor is one of my favorite places. And then, you know, you have all of the different things, and we will do some ceremony there as well, and that will be very lovely. And then the next
Zafar,
day, yeah.
can I ask you, it says that we're going to have a despacho ceremony. What is that?
That is where we will all put something into. It's like a burning ceremony, and you put in, and then all the sacred oils, everything go into it, and our shaman will do all of that, and he's the one who will lead us in that ceremony. It's an ancient Peruvian ceremony, and so we have about 3 of those on our trip with our great shaman. And so, yeah, it's very magical and very special.
Is our shaman with us the whole time?
No.
No,
He's
just in the.
just when we need him for ceremony.
I see. Okay.
Yeah. And we'll have a different when we go to Lake Titicaca, we'll have a different shaman. Not the same as the first one. And so because it's too far for him to go, you know. And then, but this is all happening on the first day we arrive, and you know, some days we split it up depending on the weather. You know, we do part one day and part the next day, and but if the weather is really nice, we do it all on the first day, because it's much more powerful if you sit there in this. It's like it's round. And there's like about 3 levels of seats on it, and then the fire is right in the center. So it's a very lovely experience, and so you have all of that, and it's all the what we sit on is in a beautiful garden at the hotel, and it's specially built for this kind of ceremony. And so it's very beautiful. And all our experiences at the Temple of the Condor and everything else are always amazing. You know, they're very good. And you know, the condor is the only bird. You know, like the 3 animals of Peru is the Trinity, as they call it: the condor, the puma, and the snake. And the condor, it is said, is the only bird that was strong enough to fly to the heavens to deliver the messages to the gods. And the condor is the only bird that does not eat anything live. Everything that it eats is dead. And the condor believes that it comes harmlessly from the earth and it goes back to the earth. And so that is part of the condor belief. And so it's very magical when you get into these, you know, it opens up a whole place within you when you go and talk about this. and when you're in the places and feel the energy of it and everything else. And so feeling all of that is very, very special.
Mm-hmm.
And then on day three, we go to Chinchera, and here we have, you'll see all these local women, and they have all their wall hangings and their rugs and their pottery and their woven goods and knitted goods, everything like that. It's just a wonderful experience to feel it all. And they show you how they do some weaving and all of that. So it's a beautiful experience for the morning. So one feels all of that. And then we go to Moray. And Moray is an ancient site of the Incas. And it's like you're walking down, and every time you go down another level and you feel the different energies and the different experiences. And eventually you get down into the center. And it's very, very powerful. And there's just a little bit off to the right. Well, of course, it depends on where you stand, but I always feel that it's on my right. When you stand in the center of the circle down at the bottom, you feel there's a place over just to your right. And you go over there and stand. And when you stand there, you feel like you're being transported to another dimension. Very beautiful, you know. And so it's lovely. And we put in something new this time, which we have not had in any tour before. And we're putting in taking people to the salt flats. And the salt, you know, has some very special energies. And it has, like, and the water and the salt there contain 84 minerals. So it's just something that I thought people would really, really like, because when I take people to Turkey and we take them along the salt road, they really are excited to feel the salt and everything else and see how it's all done. And so that is very special. And then on day four, we board the train for 1.5 hours to get us to Agus Caliente, to get to the lost city in the clouds of Machu Picchu. And here we have a very special time. We go and we enter, and we have, each person has to bring their passport with them, because we have to give the passport names and everything else, numbers, everything too, before, because they want to make sure that, you know, that people are not selling the tickets to somebody else, buying the tickets and then scalping them. And so they're very, very, very strict about all of this, about showing your passport and everything else there. And so, you know, we go through a lot of the temples and we feel them. And then we have a ceremony there with a local shaman. And there's one particular guy, I've asked for him again this year. And, you know, because he brings in some amazingly beautiful energy when he does it. And walking around there, as we walk through each and every one of the temples, it's a magnificent experience. And then the following morning, we're back up there early, usually about 8 o'clock in the morning. And we take the bus back up there. And then we will have a little ceremony up there again, which with Flo and Romulo, who will be our guide up there, and we'll be doing an offering to Pachamama, to the Earth Mother. And then after that, the reason we have to be up there before 8 o'clock is that the time that we go there will be determined by if some people want to climb Winnu Picchu. And Winnu Picchu is the big point off to the right of Machu Picchu. And so what you do, you have to go all the way through the site of Machu Picchu. And at the far end of it, there's a gate. and you go through this gate again, you have to show your passport because we have to book the tickets for anybody who wants to do that, because they go in on a long climb up to the top of the peak of the mountain. It takes about 4 hours, and when they have to be back out by 4 o'clock, and if they're not back out by 4 o'clock, and you have to show your passport again to come back out. So they check you in and they check you out because they want to make sure that nobody is inside, because they have to then go and send a search party looking for whoever is left inside, because they can't stay in there overnight. And some people come back via the Temple of the Moon. And the Temple of the Moon is a good, if you decide to go in anyway, you've got to go through that gateway to get to the Temple of the Moon. And the Temple of the Moon is about a 2.5 hour walk to the Temple of the Moon. And so you have all of those. And then the other thing is the people who don't want to do that, any of that, can walk to the Sun Gate, or they can just ramble around and look at all, absorb all the energy. The walking to the Sun Gate is a very special experience. I've done that twice. I've done the Hainu Pichu. I've done that. I've done the Temple of the Moon. I've done all of these. And some people on their way back from Hainu Pichu, they come down. There's another way you can come down, and it's climbing lots of ladders and everything else, and you can get that way to the Temple of the Moon and then walk back out. And so, you know, either way, they're both long treks, and people need to be fit to do them. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's because otherwise, you know, they you have somebody dragging you or pushing you or whatever. And and so it is, like, for anybody who wants to do it, it is a very special and wonderful experience. And then after we've had all of that, we move to Cusco. And for anybody who wants to do, Cusco is an amazing city, a wonderful city. We have a free afternoon there, and dinner is on everybody on their own that night, because we have some people, usually about 50% of the people want to try and do, what's it called? San Pedro and...
Ayahuasca.
Yeah, God, my brain went away for a minute there. Ayahuasca. And ayahuasca. So anybody, because they leave at 7 o'clock in the evening to go for their ayahuasca. There's an amazing shaman who has this circular temple that he built for especially doing ayahuasca. He's been doing it for 35 years. Very special man. And for anybody who wants to do that, they go off at 7 o'clock in the evening, and they get back to the hotel about 2 o'clock in the morning. And so by the time he shows them everything, and so it's about a 4-hour experience, 4 to 5 hour experience for anybody who wants to do it. And the last time I was there, I think it's $120. But it's a profound experience. I've done it twice. I don't intend doing it again. The first time was just absolutely amazing. I saw all of the different things about creation and everything else, and all about water, and it was just profound. The second time I had a couple of people with me that, you know, just wouldn't relax. And so when they didn't relax, I didn't relax, because they kept asking me questions instead of talking to the shaman. They were talking to me. And so I couldn't go into my experience. So that, I didn't get anywhere with that. There was, you know, I had a mother and daughter, and they were both kind of at the next to me, and they were, I can't go into this. I'm afraid. I don't want to do this. I don't. And I'm kind of saying, well, why did you? I felt like saying, why did you come? Because you have to relax into it. And you know, the amazing thing You can feel it all working up your chakras on your spine.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to have at least 4 blankets on you because your body does get cold. And so they supply you with all the heavy blankets and everything else, but you dress up warm before you go there anyway. And, you know, sort of when I'd be there and my spine would be a little cold and I'd go, oh, just rub it on the base of the cot I was on. And next thing, I'd be into a whole, just like you were starting off a whole new experience. Like every time that my spine got cold, and I would like rub it on the to warm it up on the cot. Often it was like I went on another phase of the video. It was amazing. So I was And Spirit told me I didn't need to do it again, so I'm not going to do it again. And so so Cusco, from that point, and of course it's a very ancient city, and it was a big place for the Incas. And then, of course, there's the Sacsayhuaman and the paws of the puma. And that is like it's an amazing place with all sorts of gigantic walls about 15, 20 foot high. There's like 3 outer lines, then there's inner lines, there's the circle, and there's like a storage system, there's citadels, there are underground chambers, all sorts of an amazing experience. And, you know, and then there's, of course, the stone here. And they consider, of course, a lot about the condor, the puma, and the snake. And, you know, the condor, as I said earlier on, was the messenger to God. And the puma, of course, has patience and strength. And the snake, of course, travels to the underworld, and when it sheds its skin, it is reborn and transformed. It's like all about the circle of life. So it's just like a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience. And so I like being there and having all of those different things that happen to you. And there you have the people as well where they're trying out the potatoes, and this is one thing you don't want to have, and that is to have eat some of the when they rehydrate them, because they dry them out in the sun, and when they put, they taste terrible. I tried it once. I wouldn't recommend anybody trying it. And I thought there was not a potato that I wouldn't like, but I can guarantee you, I would not have this. And so then the following day, we go to another site on the outskirts of Cusco, and there we connect with the Una, or water element, that balances the masculine, the feminine. And here again, there's a whole thing about the puma and the awakening with the puma. But there is also an amazing place called the Temple of the Moon, and Flo, even though she doesn't know it yet, is going to lead us in a beautiful ceremony there. And okay. So when she gets there, she will have divine inspiration and it will all come. And so I usually get somebody on my trip to lead that, because I feel very much that at the Temple of the Moon, it should be led by a woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so it should be female. So if I can talk anybody into it on my trips, which I always do, I will get somebody to lead us in that, because it is an amazingly wonderful ceremony. And having, you know, in the Temple of the Moon, having a female do it rather than a male, it adds tremendous energy to it, you know.
Yeah.
And I always believe that everything to do with the Temple of the Moon should be conducted by a female anyway. And so that afternoon, then we go and we get on the bus and we route a 3-hour drive to Sichuan City. And here we stay overnight. And the following morning, we get up very early. Now, ladies, I have to tell you that this is an experience like nothing else. You're going to be transported back in time by at least 1,000 years. Okay? So you go to this place. It's all about cleansing your colon and everything else like that. And it's a very simple thing. You go to this place, and there will be lots of people there for healing and everything else. And you drink water, and you keep drinking this sacred water. And eventually, you go to the bathroom, and there's standy uppers. So, there's nothing to sit down on. They're standing up, or so everybody has to be equipped with like a skirt or something that's going to make life easy for them. And you keep drinking this water and you keep going backwards and forwards for, oh, maybe 2 hours or more of drinking this water. And then finally it will come out and it'll be all clear. And then you've had a total colon cleanse. And people have profound healings here. And so then that's all over, say, by about 9 o'clock or thereabouts. And then we go and have breakfast. And where they serve this very special soup and everything else. And they have those rehydrated potatoes in it. But definitely... I will not be recommending anybody that they eat those. And but other than that, the soup is absolutely beautiful, and everything else that you want to get for breakfast there is lovely. We go to a local cafe. And then later on in the afternoon, we go to the spa. So we drive for a couple of hours, and then we go to the spa. And the spa, again, is at least 1,000 years old. It's an ancient way of doing it, and you come into this, it's like they have these rooms, and it's like you step into this pit, and in flows the hot water. And you go into this spa, and it's like being in a hot springs. And it's a hot spring that's flowing this water into you. And you have this private room where you are sitting in this place on your own. And you have your experience and you meditate, do whatever it is. And they have a way of regulating the water, which is a board, of how much hot and cold water comes in. So you adjust the temperature to what, that's how they adjust the temperature. But again, it's a wonderful experience. What I do there is, because you have to bring your own towel, but we buy the towels there. There is a little local, maybe 3 or 4 stalls by the entrance, and I buy towels there, and then I leave them with the center, gift them to the center when we're leaving, because then they share them with the local people. You know, so it's, and they take them home to their families and everything else. So they're very happy. They love to get the towels. So this is my way of helping them out. And it is, but it's like, you know, it's not like going into a modern spa or anything like that. But I want everybody to be aware that's what it's like before they go there. But it is a wonderful experience, like a beautiful. And you can see the smoke coming up, like you're looking out the window or something, and you're seeing all over the fields and everything else. There's little patches where there's smoke coming up, and that's the steam from the hot water. That's underneath there from the hot springs. So it's beautiful to experience it. It really is. And then we go from there, we get to Lake Titicaca, and there we have a water ceremony because we're in the sacred waters of Lake Titicaca, and I usually go down to the lake, get some water, and either before or after dinner, more than likely will be after dinner, Flo and I will do a water initiation ceremony with each person, because a water initiation is really, really powerful and very special, and it opens you up. Every person who gets involved in a water ceremony and water initiation, this opens you up higher to the gifts of the mother. And so there is an opening of a doorway. You're in a special place, because the following day, you're going to leave quite early in the morning. We're going to get on a boat at about 10 o'clock, and we will not be back at the hotel until about 5 o'clock, because we're going to go visit the floating islands. And then from the floating islands, we get in, that takes us about a half an hour to get to the floating islands. We get involved at them, do a little dance, and they dress us all up, and we buy some stuff from them. And so then we get back on the boat, and then we go out into almost the center point of the lake, and then we have a little ceremony there. We do something again, whatever comes to our mind. It's there's nothing worked out beforehand. And then we go onto an island, and we have lunch there. And so Lake Titicaca is a very special lake, because it is connected with Atlantis, and it carries the crystalline consciousness. So when people come back after the day on the lake, they are definitely transformed. And it is a major transformational journey when you go out onto the lake and feel and experience everything that one feels and experiences on the lake. We will have a beautiful lunch and everything on the little island that we stop at, and then we will do a ceremony before we leave again to go back to the mainland. But we will be on the boat for at least 4 hours. And so, but you will know it, and you will feel the vibration within yourself. You'll feel your vibrations changing, and it's just an amazing experience. And then the next morning we're up again, and we go to visit the doorway of the gods. And you know, there's a lot of legends attached to it. It's a very special place. That's where I had our big 11-11-11 ceremony. And it's known as, you know, sort of the doorway of Amaru. And there is all sorts of legends about it. Some people call it the gateway to the land of the gods. More people call it the gateway of the gods. There's all sorts of thing about how there are stories about how Amaru came, and he had a golden disc with him, and that with that disc, he went up and talked to the shaman that was there at the doorway, and that then he spoke to the shaman, told him that he was there, and they did a ceremony anyway. And it is said that the door opened and Amaru walked through, and that there's on the right hand side there's a little like indentation, and people say that is the golden disc. And so, but when you touch and put your head on it and everything else, there is amazing experiences to be had at the doorway. There is all sorts of legends across it that the doorway opens, that you could go through it, and that it was a solar disc, and that he had taken it to the Native Americans, that he had traveled all over, and that he is like that it was from Lemurian times. And so there is all sorts of different things about it. We had like amazing experiences there for 11-11-11. And we had like a major ceremony there on that day. A lot of people there. But there was like about 5 different ceremonies going on. There was one huge ceremony but you know, they were kind of doing all kind of things, so we went and did our own. And it is also said that it is connected to the Brotherhood of the Seven Rays, and that the seven rays are high in the Andes near Lake Titicaca. And as you know, the seven rays are all about change in our planet right now. And in my epistle that I'm sending out, I think she might get it finished today, I'm not sure. If not, it will be finished tomorrow. And I have all in there about the seven rays and what each one of them represents and everything else. But that is, and the seven rays come down to us through, oh God, where's my brain gone again? It's gone into the Big Dipper. The Big Dipper, yeah. They come down through the Dipper. The three rays, ray one, two, and three, are the ones out at the end, and then you have the other four rays coming down through the four. And so, and that is another great connection, and it's supposed to be in the etheric, the seven rays. They say that it's in the etheric near Lake Titicaca. And that, you know, the White Brotherhood has has done a lot with all of that and everything else, and the solar disk. And the solar disk is said that it serves as a portal through which the new feminine energies will radiate the world. And so we that is another thing. And so again, we will have a shaman do something for us there, but Flo and I will also do a ceremony there, because we're going to be balancing the masculine and the feminine energies there. So that will be another thing. So we will have all these wonderful experiences. And then the following morning, anybody, the people that are going to go on to Bolivia will leave for Bolivia. The others will stay around for a few hours and enjoy the lake. And then at they have to be at Juliana for 3:30 to catch their flight to Lima. And so that's about a 1.5 hour flight. And they get into Lima at around 6 o'clock. And then there's the flights. International flights start about 8, 9 o'clock at night. And so they catch their flight home. And those of us that are going on to Bolivia will have gone to Copacabana City, and we will have stopped on the way at the great pre-Incan city and the temples of Galawasi. And these are amazing temples. They're just like the doorways and the energies and the standing stones and the steps that you walk up. And a lot of them have, where you walk up, they have the seven steps that you walk up. The doorways are major portals, and any time you kind of meditate with the portals, it's just really amazing at what you get. And then they have these various faces that are in the temple walls. And so we have three sites that we go to that day, and we spend our time looking at these just absolutely amazing temples, and they all have their own amazing beauty and everything else. So we spend our afternoon doing all of that, and then we overnight in it's all, and of course there as well, they also have the doorway of the cougar. So we get involved with the cougar as well there. So that is, again, a wonderful experience to have. And so we do all of that, and that takes us to a little another dimension of life. And then the next day, where do we go then? Oh, then we go to this beautiful church in Copacabana with the Virgin, the Dark Virgin. And this has like amazing shrine and everything else. It's a little bit like, you know, going to the energy of visiting Saint Sarah in France. And so it's then, and then later on in the morning we catch the hydrofoil, which is much faster than the last time I went there. It's like more expensive, but it's much faster. You take nearly a whole day of going on a regular boat to get to the Temple of the Sun and the Island of the Moon. And so we're going by hydrofoil. So that will be magnificent, and we get to visit the Sun Virgin Temple, and then we get to continue on to Sun Island and to the Sun Temple there. So both of these are like wonderful experiences. You walk in there and you feel your heart opening, because there's very few people there, and there's just a few hawkers selling you stuff. Other than that, you don't see a lot of people. But going by hydrofoil, it's going to be amazing. And then we're staying at this like wonderful eco lodge, and then we visit the Chincano ruins, which are pre-Incan temples again. And here again, there's a labyrinth here, and this labyrinth is an amazing experience. And you walk in through it. Well, it's not a labyrinth as such, but it is a whole maze of buildings and everything else and temples. And it's just outstanding. And so there we go and experience all of that. And then there's some ancient shrines, and then we go to visit all that, and we're on a box lunch because we're out all day, and we meet all the people who take care of these wonderful temples and everything else. And so that is then in the afternoon we go back to the eco village. And then, you know, they have, again, the museum and the handcrafts. And then that night we will have a natural healing people and all that of Bolivia. We will be there and do all of that. It's just, this is like kind of being taken away to another world to experience how the local people live. And it's beautiful, and we'll have a beautiful dinner, and we'll have all sorts of things, and we'll, you know, visit the native observatory, and we will have just watched the southern constellations, and really, really have a wonderful time. And then next day we go to La Paz. And we do a tour of the markets. They have amazing markets in La Paz, and it has amazing history. So we have a city tour, and we have all of that. And then we they have the Indian market, they have the witch doctor market, and they have some amazing panoramas, and the majestic Illuminati Mountains. So they have all of that. And we will visit the Moon Valley, which is a clay formation representing the face of the moon. It is just an amazing experience. And then we overnight in La Paz, and the following day, depending on what time and where you're flying to, you'll either have free time for most of the day and fly out in the evening, or there may be midday flights, morning flights. It depends on where you're flying to. And so that's what it, and that brings it to a close. And so that is all of our experience of Bolivia and, of course, Peru. So any questions from anybody?
I was wondering about temperatures.
Temperatures will be between 60 and 75.
And that doesn't matter what the elevation is, it's still that?
It will still be that. And you know, at night it might get a little chillier, so I always tell people to bring something that they can wrap. But Peru is, at that time, you're coming into the spring, so things are, you know, it's heating up. I went there in July, which was the middle of their winter, and I would not do a tour there again in July. Too cold. People got too cold.
Uh-huh.
I would not do it again in July. I've always found that the temperature at this time of the year. Now, the thing is that in October, November time, you can get a little rain. But it's not heavy rain. It's kind of more misty kind of rain.
Mm-hmm.
So people bring rain gear with them. And mm-hmm. it doesn't interfere with anything. And you won't
when it's
get
that warm, I wouldn't imagine it would. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a bit, you know, like the misty rain we got in Scotland and all of that. It would
uh-huh.
be a bit like that. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
But
okay.
I've not ever had, like, downpours or anything like that in Peru. And so, you know... all of that, but I will send out all of that to people in their travel notes, but beforehand. But generally speaking, you know, if you have a good windbreaker and you know, a sweatshirt or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you're pretty okay. And so, because when you're up during the day, you will find in the middle of the day you're taking stuff off, but you have it on
right.
in the morning when you're going, take it off in the middle of the day, and then you're putting it back on again by the time you're getting back to the hotel,
mm-hmm.
you know? And don't forget that you're also walking a lot, so, you know, sort of when you're out walking and everything else. And so our lunches most days are kind of a little bit late in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not that, you know, great selection of places to go to. So, and some days we have, you know, people bring their own, like when we're at Machu Picchu and all of that, we bring our own lunches. People buy their own sandwiches or make up their own sandwiches. What a lot of people do is they take, you know, bread rolls and cheese and stuff like that from the breakfast table and make up
mm-hmm.
their own sandwiches. People take a few spare Ziploc bags with them so that they can do that to make up their own sandwiches when they need them. And so, so anybody else got a question?
I was just wondering, because I thought I heard something about some weather events in Peru due to the El Nino that caused a lot of rain along the coast and, you know, flooding.
Oh, that was a couple of months ago. But that's all gone now. Yeah, that won't be floating around that when we're there. And I always, you know, Flo and I will do a special little ceremony, and we will talk to the Davis of the rain and stuff like that, and get us some really nice weather. You know, so there's great ways of doing all of that where everything gets, you know, really beautiful and done lovely and everything like that. So, anything okay. else?
It sounds wonderful.
Yeah,
I'm really excited.
Yeah.
Oh,
I think you would love it.
The other thing is that that my memory about the Nameless Ones when I was in Scotland, they were telling me that they actually transmit from three locations, and one of them was the mountain Quinag, right where we were, and
yeah.
one of them is in Peru,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't asked them exactly where in Peru, but I would imagine wherever we're going to go will be the place.
Yeah, well, so, you know, they may be by Lake Titicaca, because you know there's
so many. That's what I was
thinking too. Are they may be somewhere that by the doorway of Amu? You know, and the doorway of the gods. So,
yeah.
You know, it would be if you asked them, it would be great, because we would love to do it, and you know. And when we go to the doorway of the gods, we walk through a whole labyrinth of, we walk for about an hour. And it's some people, if people that can't walk, just go by bus, that don't want to walk that long. And the rest of us go through this maze of amazing rock formations that are in temples, that are in all sorts of, it's like a mystical little journey through the rocks. And
it feels like a portal, like we saw, like we were, remember when we went off track in Egypt and we had to pretend that we were doing something else and we weren't supposed to be there, and that very special, that it feels the same energy as that.
It is,
it is.
And you know, all three of them, like as I said, Ireland and Egypt and Peru have, you know, they're all on the same ley line. So they have to be carrying a lot of the same vibration. And, you know, it's amazing. I got to tell you another thing, which I only worked out, or maybe I told you this afternoon, that when I came, when I was in Phoenix and saw the way that I had the three tours set up,
mm-hmm.
and it's exactly the same as when I work with the Golden Flame,
mm-hmm.
and in the same order, Ireland, then to Egypt, and then to Peru, and that's mm-hmm. the way the three tours turned out, doing it that way. And so we will be also doing some Golden Flame meditations, bringing in all that energy from the ley lines.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be there. So that will be happening too. Yeah.
So, Eric, I just wanted to tell you, when we were in Egypt, I have a friend who is from Hungary and from Budapest, and so I had been to Budapest and done mm-hmm. some work there, and then she went to Egypt and married an Egyptian. So she's been there, and she was telling me, and I told Finbar about this place that was actually, it was as if we had entered this Earth dimension from somewhere else in this one place, and we all were amazingly impacted by this. And it's off the beaten track, you know. The Egyptian tourist boards and so forth don't let people go there anymore, but we were extremely lucky to go. And this is what we're talking about, the same portal energy that's in Peru. This is, and Lanta was there with us, so it's exciting to feel like we're going to go back into that energy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm.
So,
yeah.
All very wonderful.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And so, but it has mystical, and people have amazing experiences there, because on all of these sites they awaken certain things within people, and especially these three countries at the moment are awakening the consciousness of people and lifting them to levels that they have not ever experienced before, because mm-hmm. like they're doorways, you're walking through into other dimensions. It's not as if you were experiencing this every day, and these take you back, and you're profoundly changed by it all. And it's a bit like France, you know, you come back and it takes you weeks to integrate it all. And
mm-hmm.
so, but like the energies in the sites now are much more profound and enhanced and spiritually awakening than they were, say, 5 years ago. Because we have moved on, and consciousness people have raised. And so when a person walks onto one of these sacred sites, and they walk on, and they're taking whatever level they are at with the level of the site and the ancient wisdom of the site. So that's what they're going to experience. And so, but if you went back again next year, because you have moved to a different level of consciousness and a different level of awareness, the site is floating at a much bigger rate, because you're mm-hmm. going to have a totally different experience, because every time you go, you're working at a different vibration. And so that is the, and so they open up more, and then you get more information. And these sites at the moment are also giving people tremendous insights and awakenings, and you know, you name it, and you know, sort of the water ceremony, you know, sort of cracks your shell open, and you're more open to receiving the gifts of the spirit, of clairvoyance, clairaudience, and all of the different telepathy and intuition and all of that from the Divine Mother. So that's part of the water ceremony. That's one of the gifts of the water ceremony, is to awaken all the gifts of the Mother. So, yeah. And that was the whole thing behind baptism. That's why the original ceremony of baptism was to crack the shell so that it allowed you to connect with the Divine Mother and it let the gifts of the Spirit flow in. And so that was the original intent. And then they took it, you know, Christianity took it to another place. But it is still the same thing. It's all about cracking the shell and allowing the gifts of the Spirit to flow into the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So. Okay.
Okay.
Anything else on the agenda? Any more questions?
Will you do another call again later?
I possibly will. Closer? We'll do with Flo and I were just talking about this. We'll possibly do one in June.
Okay.
A call that will open up for at a date for Flo and myself in June. So Flo is going to send me a date in June that works for her, and then we will do it.
So Erica, the other thing was we'll need a visa for Bolivia if you decide you want to go to Bolivia, and he gave me a place to get that if you're interested, if you want to write it down. rushmytravelvisa.com/Bolivia.
Yep.
Okay.
And I'm going to look for the replay on this to make sure, you know, I'm going to post the replay so people can find the number.
Okay. I'll let you know in a day or so when Lindsay tells me she has it up on the site. I'll send you an email as well. Yeah.
Okay, great. All right. Thank you very much. It's been very lovely.
Okay, thank you, everybody.
All right.
See you all and blessings
nice
to you all.
Nice to talk to you, Erica, and nice to be with you, Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, you probably have my phone number. Give me a call sometime when you have a spare minute.
I will. I love you.
All right.
I love you all. Okay, take care.
Love you all. Right. All right. Bye.
Good night.
Love you.
Thank you, Erica.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.